He is a threat to the rule of law in America. That's, to me, that's what this election is about. Not about policy differences. It's about what kind of country are we going to be. If he has the ability, smarter than he was last time, to use the power of the Department of Justice and the FBI to target his enemies especially, the rule of law in America will change in a way we haven't seen in our lifetime.
When you say target his enemies, how would he do that?
Well, I think the first thing he would do is he would express it in his first term as a wish. I want people to go after so-and-so. I want people to go after Andrew McCabe, the former deputy director of the FBI. In a second term, he would go a step further, I'm highly confident, and say, I want him criminally investigated. And he would have, he was close to the bottom of the barrel in his appointees last time. He'll be at the very bottom. And those are the people
who
care.
When you think about a second Trump administration, what do you think the implications would be for the FBI?
Oh, serious, for the Justice Department and the FBI, because Trump is coming for those institutions. He knows their power, and I think he has regrets that he didn't work hard enough to corrupt them last time. So he's coming for them, and that's a danger for all Americans. He's
going to
put people in positions in those organizations. He didn't have all-stars the last time. He'll have the bottom of the barrel this time. But people who will want to do his will, and that should worry every American. This election matters. Because of a reason like that, people have to participate. You cannot sit on the sideline. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden, you must vote for him because the consequences on the other side are too severe.
The optics of this guy, and that's James Comey, the optics of that wretched turd. Well, you know, I mean, he's just going to, can we, let's not forget how we got into the situation of not being able to trust our government agencies. If I can remind everyone, post-2016, if you just bear with me, your hostess, Dana Loesch, for 5 seconds, please, because we got into this. If you remember, there was one candidate who was very upset that she didn't win prom queen. You guys remember. What was her name?
Rhyme with Smillery?
Smillery. Smillery Binton. Yes, that's correct. It did. It rhymed with that. That was her name. Kane, welcome back. You're so astute. I'm so glad that you remember. Your memory is so long,
my
friend.
I just remember how things rhyme.
Yeah, you remember things and stuff, right? You're just like all about remembering stuff and
realizing things.
Realizing things.
Yeah.
So if you remember, it was Hillary Clinton who didn't win 2016. So what did she do? She knew she wasn't going to win 2016. She saw the polls coming. She knew how bad it was. We all knew how bad it was, right? We all knew how bad it was. But she had been promised, because remember, she got out of the way for Barack Obama in 2008. You guys remember, that was her race. 2008 was Hillary Clinton's race. But Democrats are like, no, 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 we got one better. We got somebody better that we're going to run. And so they ran Barack Obama. And she never got over that. It created a lot of turmoil in the Democrat Party that still exists today. It created this. It gave her more of a chip on her shoulder than she ever had. Hillary Clinton has always had a chip on her shoulder. And she didn't win. She's mad. And so she decides, along with the DNC, to take action and go after a presidential candidate. Go after not just a presidential candidate. Go after the presidential candidate and all of the people that he had working with him in his campaign, i.e. people like Carter Page, you know, all of this other stuff, these individuals that were simply working like anybody else would, working on a campaign. And so this, I mean, I remember how all this happened, and they worked with, she worked with Fusion GPS. I almost said Fusion GOP. I have no idea why. Fusion GPS, which should have, they should have actually been like a FARA operating, you know, registered foreign agent. And you guys remember, they wanted to undo a free and fair election. And they did a lot of things with regard to that. They wanted to undo a free and fair election. They tried to launder opposition through the press, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They ended up getting their knuckles slapped by a FISA judge because this FISA judge was like, you didn't do this the way you were supposed to do it. You guys are completely shady. You lied to us. You didn't tell us that, you know, all of this stuff was because you had paid these reporters. And remember, some of their names came out. The others were redacted, but they had paid these reporters to launder this information through the press. And then they used that as like the biggest source to justify a surveillance warrant. I mean, this is how all of this went. This is why we're here. This is why people don't trust these institutions. And so going back to my original point, to have somebody like James Comey sitting up there, well, it's Trump going to, you know what? Have a million seats, you absolute communist bag. I can't deal with it. I'm trying to be real nice here, guys. First off, welcome to the show. I'm trying to be real nice with these people. I'm of two frames of mind. I want to make sure that I'm cautioning all of you out there about this next story that we're going to talk about. And I want to do my due diligence by you and caution you. A lot of people get mad at me because they can't get me to go hyper crazy either way. I am always looking out for your interests, because your interests are my interests, and I'm very selfish. We share the same interests, so you can trust where I'm going to go. This, I understand how people don't trust institutions. Believe. I'm right there with you, right? I get it. However, I do want to make sure that we're being very, very careful not to get baited on things. And there are some bad actors out there that I think have been sharing some very, I don't think that their information that they were sharing was correct, or the way that they were setting these narratives was correct. Case in point, this big first story that we saw last night that everybody was talking about with regards to Mar-a-Lago and use of force. And so the documents that were made available as part of the search in Mar-a-Lago, and we all talked about it, and we all, you know, thought it was, you know, everything, the way everything was kind of going out was crazy. But I've had, and a lot of, you know, some of my lawyer friends are friends that worked with the Trump campaign in different states with different disputes. But I will say, you know, I was looking at the documents on this and how this was the authorization of use of deadly force during the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago. This was back in August of 2022, the documents which are available. And in looking at this, I want people to understand that, first off, this goes to show you, I think, how stupid Democrats are, and they don't realize the optic of stuff that they set. But the deadly force language, I think it is, I don't think it helps you all for any elected official or anybody else to go out there and say this was an assassination attempt. And I've seen people say that. I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene say that. I don't dislike Marjorie Taylor Greene at all, but I think it's really irresponsible to say this stuff because that's not what it was. Now, believe me, I think I have more reason than most to distrust government institutions. I mean, remember, I sat literally on a stage in an auditorium of people who wanted to murder me while a sheriff that I had never met before blamed me for not doing his job. I've been called a domestic terrorist by actual sitting members of Congress. I've had government agencies look at me. So, yes, I know a little bit more than most about not trusting my government agencies. So do not misinterpret my very clinical examination of this as anything but that. Because the language that was used in this order, because I think we were all shocked when we saw the raid. And when the documents came out from the DOJ here, this wasn't unusual. In fact, this is boilerplate language for every single search warrant that's granted like this. It is literally a part of their policy, their standard operating procedure, if necessary, if XYZ. But keep in mind, It doesn't matter if it's a DOJ raid. It doesn't matter what it is. When you have the Secret Service involved, everything must go through Secret Service. So the Secret Service was already aware of everything that was happening. There was no way, there's no way anything like that could have happened. Now, granted, I say this as a cynic that does not trust a single, not a single person who wears, who wears any kind of name tag in government. But there is a big difference, and I hope you understand the gap between standard operating procedure and boilerplate language and then calling something an attempted assassination. I'm telling you, I feel like that doesn't help you to call it that. And there were a lot of people that were saying this last night, and these are people that, you know, on the spectrum of politics, I would like to say they get a little bit, they engage in a lot of hyperbole for clicks. And this is the other thing that you need to be aware of. It used to not be like this, you know, 10, 15 years ago. But just like with every other aspect of information distribution and media, the conservative sphere or right-leaning reporting has fallen the exact same way. You have individuals who will say the most far out things because they want the engagement. Engagement has been monetized. You engaging and reacting is a product that people make money off of. And it is no different on the conservative side. And I don't want you to be deceived into thinking that it is because these people are somehow more virtuous by way of identifying as either conservative or Republican. So there is a motive, there is a reason, a justification that some of these people have in pushing over the top narratives. It gets engagement, even if it's bad engagement. And that's the other thing. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be good, even if it's bad engagement. Engagement is engagement. And they can absolutely monetize it. And they absolutely do, which is why you saw a lot of these claims about this search warrant and a lot of things that were deleted, very high profile accounts that I know you are aware of. I know you know these people. They're a little bit, like I said, they lean towards the hysterical. And I don't think that that helps our side. And this is where a lot of, they might misunderstand me. I want to win. And if I feel like their hysteria is an obstacle to that, I will criticize it like I am now. There are times to be completely up in arms. And again, I say this as someone who's been to protests all around the country. I've jumped into pits. I've screamed at people. I've worn wires. I've done all kinds of stuff. There's a time to be hysterical and a time to not be hysterical. And I think when you have things like this, it's very important to be clinical. Why? You are getting a lot of people on the left. You are starting to persuade them on the double standards of justice, this two tiers of justice. You're starting to persuade them. Whether they want to admit it or not, enough of them have come forward and you're starting to persuade them. Do not snatch that. Do not ruin that victory by overreacting on boilerplate language. Now, you can think that it was crazy that the raid happened in the first place, but this language, this is standard operating procedure, and it was all pre-planned with Secret Service. We're going to talk more about this as well here as we go forward. We got a lot to discuss today. Our partners that help bring you free radio, and we're grateful. Who do we have? Because everything's frozen. That's typical. It's typical. It's because, you know, that's the damn CIA. That's what I'm telling you about. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's Gold Co. Because Gold Co. Precious Metals, they want to make sure that you understand everything that there is to understand about how gold IRAs work and making sure that you are protecting your savings in retirement with gold and silver. They make it incredibly easy. They have an education first position. So you get this free 2024 wealth protection kit. And they walk you through how all of this works, how easy it is to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. They're transparent, honest. They got thousands of 5-star reviews. And you also can understand, not just like I said, the economy of it, but you learn how this directly impacts you know, your savings, how it's a hedge against inflation. You can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver just by listening to this program. It's only while supplies last. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from GoldCo. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
How much does it cost to live in your state? New studies show it costs a family of four over $177,000 to live comfortably. In Massachusetts, it's over $300,000. Government continues to put their hands in one industry after another. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The RNC headquarters in D.C. was on lockdown after vials of blood were sent to the building. You know, it was probably just like a DoorDash delivery for Nancy Pelosi, and it was sent to the wrong place. They said that it was on lockdown. They had a hazmat team to secure. Vials of blood were sent. They said it was a suspicious package. They had locked it down, avoid the area, blah, blah, blah. Apparently it was, you know, I don't know what it was. They never really came back and said. But I have my suspicions, as I related to you. A grizzly bear attacked a dude in Wyoming. It was a surprise. Okay, this is the headline. Surprise grizzly attack. Are they ever not? Like, if it's a surprise grizzly attack, it's not like it was planned, right? It's not like you booked it. You went, you know, and booked a tour. I'm going to just, can I do the add-on grizzly attack? That'd be great. Thank you. They said it was on the way to this 7,000-foot mountain on the banks of Jackson Lake. And the guy's in stable condition after it took two paragraphs to actually get to the lead. They said the guy's in stable condition. He's an unnamed 35-year-old man from Massachusetts. He was airlifted and it occurred right on the road. And apparently, you know, they got grizzlies there and they are protected under state and federal law, which means that they pretty much have to eat all your guts up and murder you to death before you can actually, respond with any kind of force and self-defense. Can we talk about more turbulence? Severe turbulence in a Singapore Airlines Flight 321 from London. One dead. One person dead, others injured. Whoa. Didn't it drop like 6,000 feet? Something crazy like that?
Yeah.
I would have vomited all over everybody. It wouldn't have killed me, but it would have killed all of you. Because it would have been gross. That would have happened. A Japanese town built a wall, we talked about this before, to stop tourists from taking pictures of Mount Fuji because they were blocking up the roads. True. And Wendy's is offering a $3 breakfast deal because they want to compete now with McDonald's. And people have been mad at McDonald's because of their $5 thing. So now it's going to be a $3 breakfast combo, and it starts Monday. They're trying to win over consumers because, like I told you in yesterday's headlines, fast food, it's taking a hit. Stick with us. Joe Biden is hiring a meme team, guys. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared. And Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at AmmoSquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's AmmoSquared.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
And by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not the same one. One of them will always be on your side. That's the biggest advantage of marrying into five daughters.
That sounds really inappropriate. That sounds pervy. That sounds like daddy showers, sniffs my kids. That's what it sounds like. Welcome back to the program. That's Joe Biden. Is it any wonder that his son like snorts coke off hookers' backsides after you hear that kind of stuff? What does that even mean? That's just so awkward. Why? The quote was, what is this? I guess somebody, 15,000. Yeah, if you're getting married, married to a family of five or more daughters. Wink, wink, wah, wah. Ew. Gross. Dude, no. Stop. Cringe. Vomit. No. He's hiring a meme team. You know this? Did you guys hear about, no. I had to read this story last night. So you got to also. Joe Biden is hiring a meme team. Now, some of you, or a meme manager, I should say, some of you sweet souls out there are like, we work for a living. What the hell are you talking about? Okay, so how would you describe it for some of our, I know most of you out there know what it is, but I'm trying, just give me a second to be sweet to the people who are too busy making the world not spin off into space. How would you describe it, Kane? Like images that capture a certain sentiment that I don't know. Like a visual joke. Right. I don't know. I mean, it's, I would say you, it's a funny like video or text or photo or something that.
They can't. The left cannot.
Yeah, and it can be, and it can be passed all around the internet, and it, you know, ends up, it's, and that's what it is. It's just like a funny joke, basically, in like visual text or video form, right? That's what it is. So, there, Biden wants to hire one. He wants to hire a meme manager. This is from the Washington Times, which first reported this. They want to speak the language of youth, guys. How do, fellow kids? So they threw pot at millennials and Gen Z. That didn't work. Now they're what? They try to pay off their student loans. Now they think they're going to meme you. The left can't meme, though, because they don't have, you have to have a little bit of self-deprecating humor to be able to appreciate a good meme. Because you have to be able to take a joke as well as get it in order to really embrace the memeage. They can't do any of these things. So there was a job posting that they had. I got it here. There's a job posting that they had where they said they want partner manager content and meme pages. The Joe Biden for President campaign is looking for a partner manager to join the digital partnerships team. In this role, you will initiate and manage day-to-day operations in engaging the internet's top content and meme pages. What did you go to school for and go into six figures in debt for? To make memes. There are people who sit on the toilet and do it for free, right? And those are the good ones. Those are the best ones. You do, if you're, look, let me, pro tip. If you're trying to hire somebody to be your meme manager, you don't need to be hiring somebody that has 2 to 4 years in video media, blah, blah. You want to hire someone who can multitask on the toilet. That's your meme manager right there. We all know this is true. Listen to this. The preferred skills and qualifications. You're willing to relocate to Delaware. Oh my gosh. Experience in contract negotiation is a plus, but not required. What is that? What does that even mean? Deep expertise of digital media landscape. So that, but wait. Do you want to hear the caveat? Would you like to hear the caveat to this job listing?
I would.
Here it is. Ring. Biden for president requires all employees to be up to date on COVID-19 vaccination status as prescribed by the CDC as a condition of employment unless otherwise prohibited by applicable law. Mm-hmm. You've got to have the clutch shot to meme. Yeah. Like I said, the person that you want to hire for this is the person whose office is their John. It's their bathroom. Because people who are good at memeing or being funny, they're not like, I went to a very serious school and I got my 4-year degree. Now I can meme. It's not that person, okay? I can't make fun of this enough. This is so pathetic. I want to bully all these people involved in this. You know, you just find that weak link in society and you got to get it out. So that's who it is. So they're looking for a campaign manager. Now, do you remember the cringe Dark Brandon stuff that they did when he gave that speech in front of the White House and it looked like a Lenny Riefenstahl backdrop? And then they try to go, no, it's Dark Brandon. And then they try to make it to where he had laser eyes and none of it was funny. Okay, so that's And they did that after the whole Let's Go Brandon thing blew up. And none of this stuff ever, they try to explain it too much. I can't stand that. I cannot stand when you got to explain it. Just stop. So they want someone, like for instance, this is so bad. Mr. Biden's ex account trolled former President Donald Trump with a meme posted just last week. Really? The fact that you write the sentence that way makes me want to die. A million deaths. Can one cringe to death? I do believe so. They added, to celebrate the Dow Jones Industrial Average cracking the 40,000 mark for the first time in history, the Biden campaign posted a video of Mr. Trump during the 20 debate, predicting the stock market would crash. And then Biden reposted the video from his personal account and added a meme of himself holding an ice cream cone serving an L, which means loss, to Mr. Trump.
So they still can't meme?
I hope that we all get obliterated by an asteroid before this comes to fruition. I mean, I've never wanted to carry out a terrorist attack. Are you listening to CIA? But if we are now deluged with memes from the Biden campaign, I may get an itching. Just saying. We've been through enough as a people. We were locked down, right? We had the bat crap virus. And then we all had the clot shotties. So it's like, can we now not have the meme wars from people who can't meme?
Wars?
I don't even know what to make of this. So that's what do they get paid? That's the thing I want to know. I know. It doesn't say.
So wait, they got their student loans forgiven and they're getting paid for this? Good Lord.
Do you want to not be funny on the internet? Come work for Joe Biden's meme team. Sponsored by Insure, Internet Explorer, Crocs, and Lee Bryant. Sorry. That was mean. Can I just point out too? Wait, you didn't see this. Here's the original posting came. Do you notice? I want you to go look at that original posting that I just gave you in Slack. All right. Because when you read about the job description for said meme manager.
Yes.
It is way shorter when you compare to the paragraphs of fine print about blah, 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 identity and blah, 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 and blah, 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 sex, race, age, blah, 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 identity, politics, blah. All that stuff is way much more than what you're actually doing, right?
You're right.
It's like paragraphs and paragraphs
it's
of
like
fine print.
Four paragraphs of fine print italicized, you know, I guess, just explanations, but mm-hmm. The actual description of the job is a paragraph.
Yeah, it's an paragraph. So he's got a meme manager. What kind of memes do you think he's going to post about the strategic petroleum reserves? He's releasing a million barrels of gas because they want to lower prices at the pump. I mean, yes, you maybe could try to drill more, extract more, expand refinery capacity, but no. Let's go ahead. Would you meme this? Let's go ahead and see the fact that you would have to ask that. No one who would ever make that joke would ever ask it. Right. That's the one of my favorite meme accounts ever is on Twitter, and it's called Midnight Mitch. Some of the stuff I can't show you. It is so funny. It's one of those things where you see the stuff that this dude does, and you just if you go to his account, you can't be drinking no soda. You know, don't be taking a bite of a snack or something because you'll straight up choke to death. It's hysterical. And I bet you that guy is not like, did you spend 4 years in school learning how to be funny with the videos? It's so bad.
Also, did you notice that one of the other requirements here is the willingness to relocate to Wilmington, Delaware?
Yeah, I said that. Like,
I know, but I mean, Delaware. Why would you have to do that? Why would you have to?
For a digital job, because it's Biden boomer, man.
This is the administration that was all about remote work. I don't understand what's happening.
You can't do the memes unless you're in Joe's basement, Kane. You got to be able to pet his leg hair. That's where the magic happens. If you're not there in the basement petting his leg hair like those kids at the pool that he talked about, then can you actually like come up with the magic to do the memes? I doubt it.
I see your point.
See my point? It all makes so much sense now. Doesn't it? Everyone out there is going, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that makes sense. They're releasing those 1 million barrels of gas. Don't we use that in a day? Wait, hold up. Let's Google. How many barrels of gas? I love radio. I love live television. Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. Hold up. We're only going to, okay, he wants to release 1 million barrels to lower prices at the pump for the whole summer, guys. Kane?
Yeah.
Radio audience, television audience, do you know how much gas? How many barrels? How many barrels we use a day?
Oh, I thought it was close to 20, but.
Would you like to know?
I would.
The average?
Yes.
8.94.
Oh, wow.
Million.
Per day? So he's going to release 1 million?
This is some Dr. Evil numbers right here. Now that's a meme. Dr. Evil numbers right there. I'm going to release 1 million barrels. We use 8.94 on average a day per the U.S. Energy Information Administration.
An interesting note as well is that each barrel of oil can create 20 gallons of gas.
Mm.
So you just consider a barrel of oil as a tank of gas.
Mm.
That's kind of where we are.
What does that have to do with his hot, funny memes, Kane?
We have 150 million drivers on the road at any moment. He's going to give us 1 million mm-hmm. tanks of gas. That's all he's going to do?
Yeah.
Wow.
So coming up, because we have Days of These United States, is it important to you when you are like at your sink and you're wiping up a spill on the counter, or maybe you're like cleaning something up and you reach for an instrument that aids you in that activity, is it important for you that the product reflect how you have to sex? I'm talking about paper towels, everyone.
What?
It's about time that our paper towels affirm how we get it on behind closed doors. Yes. Yes, it is, because we got to talk about it, because one paper towel company is doing it. Hey, it's not enough to be quote unquote prideful. You got to be inclusive of all the things, including chicks with sticks. So we're going to get into all of that. What are you? I saved it up for you. I waited for you to come back from your trip.
Hovering over the dump button is fun today.
I just want to get right up to it, to where you almost have a stroke and then you don't. See, I'm just like joy. Whew. All right, so we got to talk about that, because if your paper towels are not affirming all of that stuff, then are you really drying things up, cleaning up messes? I don't know. We're going to talk about all of it. It's the world we live in. It's always important to be prepared. And you can use code DANA20 to save 20% on any regularly priced item. This is an American company, and from start to finish, from the food to the way it's packed to where it is packed to who is packing it, it's done right here in the U.S. of A. So you're supporting American jobs from start to finish. You're helping America be self-sustaining, and yourself at the same time, because you have meals at the ready, whether it's a sudden storm, a power outage, maybe supply chain disruption, or maybe you just like want to go hunting and you don't want to be like my grandpa did and take a gallon of unsweet tea and Spam to eat every single day for every single meal. You can have ReadyWise. Yeah, they have an emergency 1 month supply, 2-bucket bundle that includes 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2000 plus calories and 50 plus grams of protein per day. Everything is made with high quality ingredients, freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, 25 year shelf life. Just add water. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com, use code DANA20, save 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Germany. So, but I'm nervous about saying anything against Biden, because I feel, you know, not that I have so much power, and you have some more than I do, obviously. But
I don't know about that.
Are you afraid that you might, you know, influence the people who are on the fence?
Yeah. You know,
media's job.
She's so afraid she might influence people who are on the fence. I don't think that anyone's would be influenced by her. I don't even think people under her roof would be influenced by her. Like, don't.
If anybody's on the fence right now, that's...
Who is on the fence?
Right.
Can I just be real? You're an epic moron if you're on the fence. You're one of the dumbest damn people alive, and you should be barred from voting because you're not smart enough. Each of these dudes have been in the White House. What the hell else are you waiting for, Francis? Oh my gosh. Who else? I don't know. Like, what could they do? You know. They were both in the White House. How in the world do you not have your mind made up? It's like when you go to Taco Bell. The same stuff is there. It's the same menu, the same tacos, the same stuff. How do you not know? You know it's on the menu. How do you not know? You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting on this menu for November. You know. You know what? Too many politicians are afraid to say it because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings is the real reality of it. And they think that, well, we're just going to glad hand. We're just going to baby these people. Don't baby them. You know, honestly, I'm so stop babying voters. They're grown people. Anyone who does not know, shame on you. Just go back into your vault. Shame on you if you don't know. I mean, there might be people on the fence about what? Well, let's see. Do I like being broke? I don't know. Let me think about it. Do I want World War III? I don't know. Let me think about it. Do I want to not have a house and live in a hole in the dirt in the woods and eat bugs? I don't know. Let me think about it. Do I want men taking all of my daughter's spots on sports teams? I don't know. Let me think about it. That's what that means. If you're on the fence, that's what you're on.
Do I want an oppressive government or no?
Yeah. Do I want to be free or do I want to be a serf? I don't know. Let me think about it. I'm on the fence. It's people telling you. All right. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards our second hour coming up. Do your paper towels reflect what you like to do privately? You don't know what I'm talking about? I'll explain. We've got that and a lot more coming right at your face. Stay with us. Kel-Tec. They have a great American company based in Florida. Family owned and operated. And it's a great American success story. Founded in 1991 by Swedish-born firearms designer and mad scientist George Kellgren. And they make awesome stuff. And they continue the mission of game-changing innovation and performance. Their latest, the Sub 2K Gen 3, which has been shipping. Light foldable. I almost said foldable. Light foldable. Effective. Awesome. They got some upgrades on it. I got the Gen 2, the Gen 3. You don't have to take off. You don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. They also upgraded that trigger. Nice light 5-pound pull. They also easier to rack. You got improved manipulation. You got all kinds of stuff on this. It's so awesome. They have a lot of different things over at Kel-Tec, and you can check out everything, including that Sub 2K Gen 3, made right here in the U.S. of A., just like everything that they do. See it for yourself. KELTECweapons.com. Make sure to follow them on social media. Sign up for the insider so you get the latest on their products. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And by the way, he's doing it in the South Bronx, not to make a point, but because he's got court. And the man practically has the legal version of an ankle bracelet around him, and he can't leave the five boroughs because he always has to be in court. And so it is truly an embarrassment to him. And I am looking forward to the response of everyday Bronxites.
Like, I'm already bored to tears when I heard talk. I'm just, you know, sometimes you come across people and they talk to you and you just go to a different plane. You're like, oh, it's you. And you just float out of your body to a different plane. You know, do something more worthwhile. Every time she talks, I do that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. The simulcast, you can watch it, the video component. Channel 347, DirecTV, X, and Rumble, and YouTube, and Facebook, and everywhere else. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. We started off the program just kind of like chilling people out about this, the raid and the use of force language that was in this. Now, I had said that I don't think it's helpful for, you know, friends of ours and, you know, people that we like. You know, I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't dislike her. I mean, you know, I mean, these are people that I don't have an issue with, but I don't think it's helpful to say that there was an attempted assassination of the former president of the United States, because it's not accurate. Now, I also realize, and again, I'll just add, I, as someone who majorly distrusts her own government, and I kind of have a little bit more cause maybe than some others. You know, I've been literally labeled a domestic terrorist verbatim in writing by a sitting member of Congress, actually a couple of sitting members of Congress. I've had government agencies, you know, try go after me. I've sat in an auditorium where people scream, burn her. So, you know, I get it. We're a bad cop trying to blame me for his inability to do his job in Parkland. I get it. However, I also don't want the incorrect interpretation of what this is to snowball into some sort of like hyperbolic reaction that undoes all of the persuasion that has already taken place in the minds of people who are now realizing there are two tiers of justice here. That's my point. But also, this language that was in that that raid, the Mar-a-Lago raid, the operations order, I think everybody was kind of shocked when they saw the Mar-a-Lago raid, you know, and the classified document situation, all of that. I think people were kind of shocked by it. But one thing that you do need to know, first and foremost, the Secret Service were aware, and it doesn't matter what the FBI wants to do. They can't do anything without first talking to Secret Service. Secret Service are going to take complete supremacy in everything. There was no way for anything. That's just how it was, and they had already discussed. They'd already been in conversation. They had already been in discussion with each other. Number one. Number two, this is boilerplate language and standard operating procedure. In fact, this exact same language was used in the search warrant for Biden's Delaware premises when they went and searched for classified information. This exact same language was in those documents. And there was a Politico piece about this, actually, back, let me pull this up. I want to say this is back in February of 2023, I think. I'm pulling a couple of things up right now, where they had discussed that. I mean, there had been use of force. In fact, there's a whole thing on, it has their justice manual, Department of Justice policy on use of force, etc. It was the exact same boilerplate language that was used in that search. It's standard protocol, standard operating procedure for all these search warrants. And it's like boilerplate. It was used in Mar-a-Lago. It was also used for the Delaware for Biden. So it's not. I understand the optics, though, too, because that's what Democrats, they don't think of this stuff. What did they think these optics were going to look like? You absolute morons. What did you think? Of course, you knew how bad this was going to look. But the same thing was also applicable in Biden's case, too. And that's something that needs to be aware. This was from testimony. Pull this up. This was testimony that was and you'll have to forgive me because I almost lost it. Former FBI Assistant Director in Charge, Steve Dan Antonato, who had testified before Congress saying when he was talking about the Mar-a-Lago, saying that it, quote, it wasn't a show of force because we were all in agreement. We had interacted with Secret Service to make sure there were no issues in getting into Mar-a-Lago. We did not bang down doors and we didn't bring any FBI vehicles. They said that that is not how we played it. That was testimony that he had given because it was brought up at the time. Did it look like a show of force is what he was being asked when he was testifying before Congress. And so that's what he had said. And everyone had testified that they'd been talking to Secret Service, et cetera. It was just standard it's just as it's always authorized. It's always present in any of these searches, just like it was for Joe Biden's Delaware search. It was absolutely also in that language was in those documents. So I just think that it's not wise to say it was an attempted assassination attempt, because that's not correct. Any more so than you could make the case that it was for Biden's when they went in and they were searching his Delaware premises. However, you can't get upset at people when you have carried out a two-tier justice system for 4 years now, after 2016, when you manipulated the FISA court to wiretap people. I mean, do you really blame people for thinking such a thing could be possible? Even if it wasn't, and even if it was just standard and there was never anything that even remotely lent itself to that inclination, do you not see how people are going to immediately assume the worst after having a political party assume the worst of them for years prior? That's what I think is important here to recognize. And so, and this, you know, with all of this, I just, you know, everyone, I think, you know, keep a level head, but there's nothing, the Mar-a-Lago case, it's interesting that this comes out now, particularly because the Mar-a-Lago case isn't going to go anywhere at this point because they messed it up so badly. They've messed it up so badly. I don't see anything happening with us at this point. I'd be shocked. But not as shocked as you would be. There's no good way to go into this. Not as shocked as you would be over your paper towels. Because we're getting ready to go into sin month. Sorry, pride is a sin. I don't know why people are constantly, and it's not meant, they don't mean it like that. It's not even meant to be like proud of who you are. It's, do you bend a knee? Is this a brand that's going to bend a knee to DEI? And it doesn't even have it to do with alphabet people anymore. It is just it's the Marxist substitute for the economic status. It's Marxist cultural nonsense. So Bounty, they have inclusive paper towels. I don't even know what this means. So I don't know why that's important, but it is. I mean, the packaging shows some women, cartoon women on the paper towel. So they put women on the cleaning item, right? To mark their exclusivity or inclusivity. I don't even know. Yeah. So they said that it's Bounty Prince doing some good. Their inclusiveness or whatever. They have a whole thing on it. They have celebrations of diverse artist representation. So I guess this is supposed to be somebody's art on a paper towel. And have you seen the art that's on the paper towel? I don't know. I mean, it looks like just like little marker squiggles. I don't know what it's supposed to be. It looks like just like doodles. They have way too much time into this. So they have all these multicultural prints. And I guess, look at this link, Kane. Eight female artists. So it's a bunch of white chicks with their drawings, their doodles on paper towels. Okay. Then they have visionaries and voices, theirs. Then I don't even know who some of the others that they have are. I don't get this. Why do you even have to do this? Why? What's the point of it? Thoughts, Kane?
I guess if I were to buy a roll of these, I'd smile every time I threw one away.
Like this one chick has drawn squiggly lines on the paper towel, right?
Right.
And it's just squiggle lines on the paper towel. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an artist, but I'm pretty sure I could do this. And it says, it gives her name, and this is how they describe it. Known for her layering of color and patterns, Venezuelan illustrator is influenced by her culture and experiences as an immigrant in the U.S. because she can draw lines differently than you can, Kane, because she came from Venezuela.
Is that right?
You didn't. Yeah. Huh. I guess Venezuelans just draw lines differently. There's a joke there. But not Eric Adams style.
No.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. And then they have this one guy who draws on paper towels. I don't understand how any of this is. Like, there's one chick who does stars. She just draws stars. What is this even? It's like too much out of nothing. It's like a macaroni necklace.
Yeah.
And then you put it on a paper towel that someone just uses to wipe up, like, spilled stuff and then trashes it.
Yeah, and throws it away.
Yeah. Do you not see how it becomes insulting because it's so patronizing? Right? Right?
It's ridiculous. I just want a paper towel that works.
Yeah, just does it absorb things? Yeah. Well, look at the colors on it and the lines.
And I don't want to think those colors are going to bleed onto my counter when I'm wiping something up.
Did it look like it took a long time for these people to draw these things? The art on the paper towels?
No. They're like pre-selected patterns in like Photoshop and stuff and different programs. You can just copy and paste it right onto some template.
Yeah, it literally looks like clip art.
Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, it's a paper towel. Like, were they ever exclusive?
That was my question. At what point were just plain paper towels exclusive? Like, I never got that.
Did someone like try to buy their paper towels and go, wait a minute, these aren't for me? Like, did the paper towel manifest a hand out of the packaging and slap them away as it was trying to pick it? They were trying to get it off the shelf. I don't know. This is why when you make things stupid, this is what happens. When you make things dumb, this stuff happens. This is what happens. Oh, man, you guys, we haven't even gotten near June, and already the dumb is starting. Right. Everything's going to be rainbow. Everything. Your mouthwash, your tampons, your hand soap, your paper towels, your goldfish crackers. Everything is going to be rainbow. Everything is going to have to affirm something. It has to. I don't know. It's all weird to me. So coming up, we got a lot to get into. A mom from Georgia got mad and disrupted the entire school ceremony because her son didn't get an award. Yeah, I think we're going to have... I just hurt Kane's brain. We're going to talk about this here coming up. We got a lot to hit still as we roll towards the bottom of the hour. Our partners over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale is an actual academic institution, and they want to make sure that people know exactly, you know, all the principles of our republic and the founding positions that we had when we were creating this republic, this grand American experiment. Right now, they've noted that there's this like big push, particularly from the left, to change how we elect the president of the United States. And Hillsdale wants to do something about it. They're hosting a survey on the presidential selection process. And you can take it today at Dana4Hillsdale.com. And this movement has been led by super far left, you know, activists that have been trying to do away with the Electoral College. And 18 states have signed on to overall how presidents are elected. Now, the survey on presidential selection is designed to help Hillsdale understand the views of mainstream Americans like yourself on this very critical issue. Help them in their future work defending liberty. And all you have to do is visit Dana4Hillsdale.com and you start this national survey on the presidential selection process right now. They're not going to take your info. They're just genuinely interested in what you think about this because they are an actual like educational institution. Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start that national survey on the presidential selection today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, the use of marijuana is now outpacing that of drinking. According to a new study, as per the Associated Press, millions of people in the U.S. apparently are using the marijuana daily or nearly every day, according to a new analysis. They apparently, those people outnumber the individuals who say they are daily or near daily alcohol drinkers. And they said that's the first time Carnegie Mellon University, they were the ones who did it. They say this is the first time they've seen that one overtake the alcohol. So that's kind of, I wonder what that's attributable to. They don't actually dive into it in the study, but I do find that interesting because I don't know. Is it just?
I think it's highly cultural. I mean, really? Extremely cultural. Yeah, because for the conversation, I remember growing up, the conversation was drinking. You don't recover from that. It takes like almost a full day to recover from getting drunk. But from smoking a joint, it takes about an hour or two.
They said that research shows high frequency users in terms of smoking pot are likely to become addicted to it. Addicted to marijuana? Is that a thing? Look how much about drugs I know. I'm like, can you become addicted to the pot? I don't know. Let's see. A ranking of best cities to live. I think we should lie about this. Well, they said Naples, Florida is the best city to live in. They said it's right between the Gulf of Mexico, Everglades, Collier County, and Naples, Florida is number one. Boise, Idaho is number two. They say Colorado Springs is number three. Really? I don't know. I like you go all down. Virginia Beach is on the list. They have Austin, Texas is the ninth place to live. Best place to live, which is that's a lie. So this list is garbage. I don't know anybody. Nobody who lives around in Austin says that. They all live outside of Austin. They live like Round Rock and everywhere else. They don't live in Austin. They just, you know. Pixar laid off 14% of its workforce. Interesting. This is something. Okay. How many times have you been told that you have to take fish oil supplements? Everybody's told this. Now they're saying fish oil supplements may increase heart disease and stroke risk. I know. This is what, how many times have you all been told this? Like, you got to take your fish oil. They said that because it's rich in the omega-3 fatty acids, it supports brain and heart health. Now they're saying that, well, we've got some studies and it's yielding some mixed results. They did 500,000 people, 40 to 69 years of age for 12 years. They said 31% regularly took it. They got they were linked with 13% higher risk of atrial fibrillation, irregular heartbeat, and others. Interesting. We'll have, that's wild. We got Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Everything else is just garbage. And it's actual like coffee aficionados, people who know what they're doing. They don't just find a niche market and go, I want to make some coffee. No, they actually make really good coffee. They're coffee nerds. And I don't say that as like a mean thing. I mean, it's just true. They have the best beans. They have the best roast. They roast the beans 5 days a week. Their facilities in Utah and Tennessee. This is veteran-owned, veteran-run. They hire veterans and active duty. And they support our first responders, and they help veterans fight health issues. They help them with PTSD. They help them with everything. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Now, every bag, like I said, roasted right here in the U.S. of A. And you got a variety of choices. You can get your ground beans. You can get your whole beans. You can get your K-cups. You're ready to drink. But you're also going to find apparel, the kettles, the mugs, the grinders, everything you need for your perfect cup of coffee. Try for yourself today. You can save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. But you're only going to get that 20% off with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where are you guys from? What country?
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
India.
India. Where are you from?
Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
Turkey. Okay.
India.
India. Where are you guys from?
Turkey.
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 Turkey? Where are you guys from?
China.
China.
Ecuador.
Ecuador? Where are you guys from?
India.
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 India. India. Sagar Baba.
India. India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India. All India?
India.
India. Iran.
Iran.
You're all from Iran. Why'd you come?
No freedom.
No freedom?
Yes, in Iran. Iran is a dangerous country. Mm-hmm. No freedom for speak, for writing, for singing.
Not a single person,
thinking.
Though, coming in from like Mexico. It's like all, I mean, anymore, if you look, it's all Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, China, Turkey, tons of people coming in from China. All dudes, all men, all young men within a certain age demo. Very interesting, to say the least. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Joining me on this issue is Senator Marsha Blackburn from the beautiful state of Tennessee. We so enjoy having her on and her strong voice on behalf of border issues and many other issues as well. Senator, it's good to have you. I just wanted to get your initial reaction to this new video that came out this morning, early this morning, from Bill Malugin. I mean, this is, I don't know that I've ever seen it. They said that it's a record number of people who are not from either Mexico, Central or South American countries that are coming across the border now.
Oh, indeed. Last year, we had people from 170 different countries cross that border. There are increasing numbers that are coming from what we call countries of interest, Iran, Pakistan, the Chinese. You have seen an 8,000% increase in Chinese. And Dana, as you said, they're primarily young, single male. And that is generally what we're seeing at the southern border. And then they are being moved around the country by the Biden administration. And even sometimes you have the Biden administration going into these countries, and we understand there's a little north of 400,000 that they have picked up in the country, they put on a plane, and they have flown them to a destination in the United States and have given them the coveted status of parolee. And this gives them benefits and work permits. And they did 800,000 of these in 22, 1.2 million in 23. And then we're understanding so far we've got like 400,000 that they have flown in and given the status. We don't know what the full stats are for this year, Dana, but what we do know is this. The Biden administration is doing everything they can possibly do to try to make illegal immigration legal. Mm. And then they're trying to bolster the population of these big blue cities and states that have been losing population, because these big blue states and cities don't want to lose federal money. They don't want to lose congressional seats. And they think bolstering their population is going to have them keep that. That's why we are fighting back. We've got legislation that would prohibit these individuals from being counted in the census.
We're talking with Senator Marsha Blackburn from the beautiful state of Tennessee. It's been, Senator, gosh, over a year, well over a year since H.R. 2. And I know that in the Senate, Chuck Schumer is trying to revive this border bill that he tried to push earlier and didn't get a lot of Republican support. Why wouldn't he just bring up H.R. 2? I mean, that seems to do the job of what they claim needs to be done, which goes to your point. They don't really want to solve this issue. It would be so easy for him to take up H.R. 2.
Yes, the president could just reverse the 94 executive orders he took in the first 100 days. And that would go a long way. President Trump had this issue right. And we had a secure border. H.R. 2 would have restored much of what President Trump did. And it passed the House and came to the Senate on May 15th, 2023. So it has been with us 373 days. It had its first year birthday here in the House without Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin ever touching the bill. And it is a border security bill. What Chuck Schumer is trying to do right now doesn't have anything to do with actually securing the border. They've got this little formulary of how they will give discretion to close the border. This is fully intended to leave that border open. It would prohibit future presidents from going in and exercising control over that border. And we know that it would never go anywhere in the House. That bill is not going to pass. But the Democrats are in trouble. The open border is the number one issue with the American people. Every town is a border town, every state a border state. People are living it. They see the impact of drugs and human trafficking, sex trafficking, gangs, crime. They're talking to local law enforcement. They're saying, hey, look, we're doing the best we can. But until the federal government secures the southern border, we can't get this under control. So people are figuring this out. What Chuck Schumer is doing is wasting the Senate's time. It is silliness. It is something that will not have an impact. It's going nowhere. It is a political stunt.
Mm. And voters, as you said, Senator, they're seeing this because every town is a border town. There was a report that came out from Chicago just last week that we had as part of the program talking about the resources being depleted just because of the illegal immigration coming in from the southern border. Talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, I wanted to ask you as well. You had signed, it was signed into law. It was your bill with John Ossoff to protect missing and exploited children. This is, you know, where Biden finally makes a good move. I'll give him that much. He listened to you. He listened to you and your direction on this. This is the existing procedures on reporting via technology. Tell me about this, because this involves Facebook and Snapchat and all of the different social media platforms that youth and you know our kids use today, and the abuse potential and the way that there's kind of been a loophole there that's existed until your bill. Tell me about that.
Yes, indeed. And this came to light as we worked on protecting children in the virtual space. And the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC, mentioned to us that they were only allowed to keep this damning information, CSAM, child exploitation, grooming, recruitment of children. They could only keep all of that for 90 days. And we know pedophiles and predators make the internet. They use these platforms as the number one way to recruit and groom and exploit these children and to distribute this sexual abuse material. So my legislation allows them to keep this information for a year. It allows them to transfer this information via the internet to law enforcement and to your judges and your prosecutors. The goal is to get these people into court and to carry out that trial. And 90 days was not long enough to do this. Also, this puts the responsibility on these social media platforms. Mm-hmm. They talk about community standards and they talk about how they moderate content. but they were not reporting these pedophiles and predators who were distributing or processing this material. They weren't reporting them to the NCMEC cyber tip line. Now they have to report the individuals and the information to that tip line.
That is huge, because this is, yes. I didn't know it was only 90 days. I was, yes. I thought they could actually keep it way longer than that. And I was wondering, well, why is there such a difficulty with these agencies communicating with each other and sharing this information? And that makes sense. Talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn, one other quick topic for you, Senator. We appreciate your time, because I know that you've been everywhere, and we're gearing up for a fight during an election season with some of these, yes. some of this legislation. I wanted to quickly ask you about looking at what the foreign policy situation with Gaza, the floating pier that the president created, we're using taxpayer dollars. And now reports came out yesterday showing that all of the taxpayer funded aid that the United States was going to send through that floating pier off of Gaza actually is not even getting to anybody, which we kind of figured it wouldn't. It's being hijacked by either Gazans that are selling it on the black market or Hamas. What is your thought on that? And no, they've suspended the aid for right now, but I mean, where do they go from there? I mean, that's an embarrassing failure on behalf of the administration.
It is truly an embarrassing failure. And so many people said this is never going to work, because Hamas for years has been taking all the resources that were going into Gaza and also that were being distributed through the UN. And of course, we defunded UNRWA, the UN program. Dana, if we want to help the Gazans, if we want to help Palestine, the very best thing we can do is eliminate Hamas. And Israel and the IDF are doing their best to obliterate Hamas and to get rid of that terrorist faction, that terrorist organization, by the way, funded by Iran. They have carried out the October 7th attack. They have built those tunnels. They have worked to carry out this. Their goal is to destroy Israel, to destroy the United States. And what we need to do is to make certain that Israel has what they need to eliminate Hamas.
Yeah, there we go. And has what they need and needs transparency from the administration, for sure. Right. Senator Marsha Blackburn of the great state of Tennessee, always a pleasure to have you. My friends have moved to your state than to move to Texas. So I don't know what that says. The great Tennessee-Texas competition to get all our friends coming in from New York and California. They're voting red, Senator. They're voting red.
Good deal. I like
Thanks so much. Good to see you.
You too.
You need to make the switch and support companies that support you. I hear people like, oh, I don't want to support this company because they do, you know, this XYZ. But if you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, you have to realize how much money you give to your cell phone bill every single month and how much those political action committees of all those very left-leaning companies, how much they donate to all the things that you vote against. Patriot Mobile is literally the only one out there that's not doing that. They're the only ones out there that are supporting your Second Amendment rights and your free speech and standing up for chicks in school and all of that other stuff. But you're not helping them if you haven't switched. And they make it so easy. My gosh, they practically come to your house and do it for you. In fact, I'm probably sure that that's like an addition. You could request it. I'm not even lying. And when you switch, you're sending a message that you support all these things. And you're also putting momentum behind the things you vote to protect. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Drop my name. Normally, that's really annoying. But if you use code Dana, they're going to give you free activation. I don't know at what point you say it. Just be like, hey, code Dana. And they're like, yeah. What up? Free activation. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch or the commies win. PatriotMobile.com/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Kane.
Yeah. Why do you do this to me?
Why did you send me a story?
Wait a minute.
Why did you send me a story?
I think Steve needs to step in here and take responsibility.
About Dana not liking this one, because it's a Florida man who was arrested because a dog that he adopted 4 days prior was found decapitated in a park.
Yeah, I said that one too.
That was Steve.
Steve, you know I turned into female John Wick.
That's why I love
John Wick was about a dog. That's why you all know that, right? John Wick wasn't about gung fu. It wasn't about anything else. It was a movie about a dog. It's the modern day Old Yeller.
Yep.
Steve. And then you know what happened, Steve? When I hovered over the link on the rundown, you know what happened? Yep.
What happened?
A little puppy face popped up.
Yeah. No. I let off with it.
Wait, not the decapitated face.
Yeah. No, no, not the decapitated one. Thank God. You guys know how insane I am about dogs, right? I like them better than people. This guy was, he decapitated a dog he adopted from an animal shelter. Domingo Rodriguez, 66. Domingo Rodriguez, age 66, of St. Petersburg, Florida. One count of felony animal cruelty. This sweet baby puppy, this sweet little bulldog mix, was floating in the mangroves and had its head cut off. And they scanned the dog for the microchip. They identified him as 4-year-old Dexter. And he said, oh, the dog must have run away overnight. They're investigating. What I wouldn't give, I would pay $10,000 for 60 seconds in a room with this guy. I would pay $10,000 for 60 seconds. I would pay $20,000 for 60 seconds in a room with this guy.
That's like a good fundraiser.
I mean, and he can't do nothing, and there's no consequences, and there's total immunity. That's all I'm saying. I will take care of him. You don't know. I'm not threatening nothing. You don't know. Maybe I'll bake a cake of violence. You don't know. I'm just saying. Oh, my gosh. These people. Oh. All right. This, hold up. I'm going to switch a couple. I got a couple of other ones here. This is a Florida real estate. Let's see. Okay. Florida real estate broker demands $23,000 commission because a widow broke her leg and the deal fell through. That just sounds like a horrible afternoon. So this widow signed a contract to sell her house, but then she broke her leg, couldn't move. The homeowner refunded the buyer's deposit, released her from the contract. But then her own real estate broker is demanding $25,000 in legal action over a lost sale. I mean, she broke her leg. She couldn't do any. Would you stop it? Why do people got it? Her name's Jacqueline Estrada in Spring Hill. And she wanted to sell and downsize. And I guess the real estate, they just, you know, the doctor was telling her she needed it because it was apparently a very bad break from what the story says. She underwent hours of surgery. She had her leg broken in multiple places. And she underwent hours of surgery. And she's got like all kinds of pins and bolts and stuff in her leg. And so she had to do weeks of recovery and in-home rehab. And her doctor was like, you can't literally move out of your house right now. What are you doing? And so that's, I mean, it really was. Aren't there like medical exceptions for this kind of stuff, I would think? Yeah. So I just don't know why that agent, I don't know. That was a sad story. I hope it ends happy. I really do. Let's see. A 5-foot alligator was removed from a 104-year-old Florida woman's home. This was in Tampa, Florida. 5-foot-long alligator was removed, 104 years old, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. They said they captured the gator with the help of a licensed trapper. And the officer, this is hysterical because you can't hear the video very well, but the trapper goes over and the officer's there in front of the gator. The gator starts hissing and slapping its tail around, slappity slap. And the officer's like, oh, hey there, buddy. Like, hey there, guy. It's just the difference is funny, but they said, yeah, you got to leave the grandmas alone. We're going to take you downtown. So they took the that gator was sassy. That was a sassy gator. That's all I know. A Florida car dealership test drive led on a wild chase and a woman jumping in a canal because all these people think that they can get away and you can't. It's not going to happen. Also, why would you jump into a canal in Florida? Do you want to get eaten by a gator? Right? I'm thinking you want to be gator nummies. You want to be nummies for that gator. That's what I'm thinking. So this woman, she got arrested in South Florida. She stole a car during a test drive at a dealership, led the police on a wild high-speed chase. Melina Logan, 27, faces several charges. She's got grand theft, aggravated fleeing and eluding, resisting an officer without violence. Oh my gosh, there's lots of leaving the scene of a crash, a bunch of other stuff. And she arrived at the dealership, took it on a test drive, and when she waited, they pulled back. When they returned, she waited for the salesperson to leave the car, and she took off. So, yeah, but when she tried to get away, she pulled over, got out of the car, and jumped into a canal. They got her before a gator did, you know, because gators are everywhere there. That's just like, why would you do that? Don't. Why would you do that? And she was stealing a Honda. Why? Stick with us. We got our third hour on the way.
I've long said, and Lucy got in trouble for saying it, that about 30 years ago, that America has a lot of obligations, but only one truly sacred obligation. Sacred obligation. And that's to prepare those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they come home, and if they don't come home, care for their families.
Oh, that's a rough thing for Biden to say about veterans, considering Kabul and how that was a disaster. That was the president saying, oh, yeah, America's got to take care of its vets and their families, and except when I didn't do that, you know, and left all those people behind at the Hamid Karzai International Airport. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour this Wednesday. It's weird that it's Wednesday already, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fast. It feels like a Tuesday. And I can't believe we're already in our third hour of our programming. We've just been bopping along, hanging out, chilling out.
We're having fun.
Yeah. So it's good to be with you all. And you can find us all over the webernets. We're going to get into some of this other stuff. I wanted to touch on that, what I asked Senator Blackburn about. It's not like we didn't tell them. I mean, we all told them. We all knew. There were, I think, other Democrats that knew, right? The peer. And the nightmare that the pier turned into, the floaty pier, the USAID pier in Gaza, what was it slated to be? Wasn't it going to be like $280 million and it ended up being $320 million pier?
Yeah. You're right.
Can I just sidebar real quick? Please don't. Like, I'm not diminishing the foreign policy aspect of this. Can I just put this in perspective for people? Because I hear from people all over the country. And one of my favorite things to hear about is when I tell a tale of how much something cost, how much the federal government paid to create something. And I get like emails or comments or messages or something from one of our good old American engineers, right? And they're like, yeah, well, you know what? And some good old boys down here could have done that for like, you know, $50 and resources. We could have stopped that, the ice hardware. You know, I love stories like this. Because every time I talked about this pier, I can't tell you how many times people jokingly comment about what they could have paid to do something like the $320 million military built pier in Gaza to facilitate an aid delivery. Kane, I figure we could just tie us some inner tubes together, you know, like we did back in the day on the Huzal River, on the Black River. We could just tie us some inner tubes together, you know, it could have been a done deal.
Surrounded with a fleet of pontoon boats.
I'm telling you what, get her done right there. I mean, just saying, we could have done it, you know, could have done it. They said they wanted to transfer up to 90 and maybe eventually 150 aid trucks per day. But then none of the aid. And if you had to wager a guess as to the tonnage, Kane, how many tons of aid do you think went through? How many tons of aid do you think went through the pier?
This new pier, this new floaty?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 100. 150, 200, 370, 400, 600,
570 okay. Metric tons.
I was close.
Now, of the 570 metric tons of aid delivered through the pier, how many has reached the population there in the strip?
Mm. Oh, in the strip?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine any of it.
That is correct.
Wow.
Not a single bit of the 570 metric tons of aid that was sent through McBiden floaty, the USS McFloaty there, not a single bit of it. It's a glorified, like, Pokemon gem is what it is out there. Not a single bit of it made it through. Not a bit. Nothing.
So this is a useful thing, this pier.
Yeah. The piers. None of it. They said it's been intercepted by looters. It's been resold. Already it's being resold on the they were already reselling it.
But they told us we needed this pier in order to get that aid to the strip. They said we needed it.
Yeah, they did. And remember, because Israel was told, Israel's starving them. Israel's being blamed for this. Israel's not even in that area. I sent you a picture, Kane, of how close the whole thing is to the
shoreline. Yeah.
And they cannot get, they can't get it through. The photo that Juan's going to show you in the simulcast, that's like looking at the shoreline from the floaty McPier. They can't get it through. And so Israel's being blamed for it. Israel's not even in this area. The IDF is not even in this area. They're not in there. They're They're not in the area. They're not near the area of where this is. They're like the southern part of the strip. So they said the aid was supposed to be transported by U.S. military personnel to the causeway, which connects the pier to the mainland. Then it's taken by non-U.S. contractors onto shore, put in an assembly area. Then NGOs pick up the pallets for distribution to warehouses, where it's then ostensibly delivered to people in need, except it's not. It is absolutely not. So you paid, we paid all that money, all of that money. Nothing. No aid got through. None of it got through. Well, mission accomplished. Good job, everyone. Good job. So the first time they were going to drop aid on people, and they ended up literally dropping it on people's heads. And then now they're not even getting it. Great job. I mean, no one foresaw that this was going to happen like this. No one could have ever possibly foreseen. I mean, I don't know. Just add this to the winner, winner chicken dinners, just like the evacuation of Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul. Great evacuation of airport. Great way to deliver aid. I mean, the Biden administration just keep putting out bangers, man. It's truly amazing.
This dropped about 12 minutes ago. This is NSA's Jake Sullivan is out there. Because Israel is withholding funds. They're seeing what's happening in Gaza, right? They're seeing that Hamas is taking all the aid. They see that Hamas is not doing any. As a matter of fact, they're shooting their own people if they get close to the aid. Yet he's out there saying that it's wrong for Israel to withhold funds from the Palestinian
Before
Authority.
We show this video, can I just put it in your head that Jake Sullivan could not fill out a suit jacket if his life depended on it? I mean, is it that difficult to get something that actually fits the shoulders?
Right.
Is it that difficult? I mean, I am distracted every single time this guy gets on camera. I'm like, you lack like the manly physique to wear this jacket. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Play it. I didn't mean to be distracting.
Israel is responding to the move to recognize Palestinian statehood by withholding funds from the Palestinian Authority. What do you make of this decision and the economic impact that it could have?
I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong on a strategic basis, because withholding funds destabilizes the West Bank. It undermines the search for security and prosperity for the Palestinian people, which is in Israel's interest. And I think it's wrong to withhold funds that provide basic goods and services to innocent people. So from our perspective, those funds should continue to go with all of the necessary safeguards, but they should continue to flow.
This is so painful. Now do Hamas. Now do Hamas.
He acts like that they didn't elect Hamas. That's your government. That's their government. That's what they chose to do. That's not Israel's fault. It's not any other nation's fault to take care of the citizens of its opponent. It's not. It's not our responsibility. It's not Israel's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the entity that was elected to represent them and lead. It's their responsibility. And I'm not going to hear no nonsense from anybody, including Jake Sullivan, about how it should be Israel's responsibility or the United States' responsibility or somebody else's responsibility to do this when their own elected government can't do it. It's not our job. It's not. I know people with their bleeding hearts want to, elections have consequences. As we all know, this is theirs. It's not our responsibility.
I'm just wondering why they wouldn't condemn Hamas first, knowing that every bit, like you said, 500 and something metric tons of aid has not reached a single Palestinian or Gazan because of Hamas. Yet Israel's decision is the one they're going to condemn as wrong.
And Lorraine makes a good point in the chat. She says Israel is the only country that's expected to pay its enemies for attacking them.
Yeah.
True. I mean, consider it. Why is it there? It's Israel. Hamas has been a welfare recipient. Not only are they colonizers, but they're welfare recipients. They were given this strip of land that they never inhabited. They were given the strip of land. They were given, just to recap, every single piece of infrastructure down to the greenhouses. Given. It was unilateral withdrawal in 2005. In 2006, they elected Hamas. Fatah was in West Bank. They ended up suspending the elections because Hamas had grown so much in popularity, because Fatah, they would at least, the difference basically if there was one is that they would pretend to recognize Israel's right to exist, whereas Hamas wouldn't, which drove Hamas's popularity further. And so Fatah was losing relevancy and influence in the West Bank. Hamas was going to take over. That's why they suspended elections. In the time that they were given beachfront real estate, in the time that they were given manufacturing facilities, fields planted that they could harvest, greenhouses, entire sewage, electrical, everything. They were given all of this. And what did they do? They squandered it. They stripped the land of its resources. They placed the people that voted for them in poverty for the grand war of trying to subjugate their neighbor to the north. They built bombs out of the resources, missiles, rockets. They destroyed the area. They turned it into a hovel. They colonized it and turned it into a hovel. And then they demanded funds the entire time. And the crazy thing is that Israel was paying them still. They were sending them money every month, supplies every month, medicine every month, because in the decades that Hamas took over, they couldn't figure out apparently how to provide that for their people themselves, because their attention was on being terrorists. Now, the only thing that they would plan out money for was the Martyrs Fund, where they would award huge settlements to families whose children kill themselves while trying to kill Israelis. That is fact. There's no obligation. And for Jake Sullivan to come out here and say this, well, they're withholding funds from the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority is like the umbrella branch under which all these groups exist. It's wrong on a strategic basis. Well, why? They don't have an entitlement to any of the Israel's money. They're not owed Israel's money. They're not owed this. Don't you find it fascinating that the entity that doesn't believe in a two-state solution wants this first state to provide them with all their welfare? It's a bunch of welfare colonizing grifters. That's all it is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Wisconsin, in their tulip garden, they apparently had some marijuana plants growing there that they were unaware of. Were they unaware of it? They sprouted in a tulip garden right outside of the Capitol. And they said workers removed the plants. At the Wisconsin State Capitol there, they said that the department administration couldn't figure out if it was hemp or marijuana. We should probably just take it and smoke it just in case, she said. She didn't say that, but... Science. They had a botanist who said that they were cannabis plants. But then she couldn't say for certain whether they were, because they're illegal. It's illegal, and marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin. I just thought it was funny that it was growing. I mean, it sounds like it wasn't by accident. Sorry. We had the thing about the taco stop. A man was, okay, why would you do this? A man was trying to exercise by hanging from a chin strap. And apparently it's a bizarre form of exercise that's been getting a lot of traction in China, where you just literally hang your head off a chin strap. That's a great way to snap your head right off, right? I don't know why people think they need to do this. This one guy killed himself because it literally did just that. Sun Rongchun, who is a Shenyang native, as a way to relieve, apparently he's the guy who invented it. And this 57-year-old dude lost his life. He was hanging. They have an outdoor neck swing. We would call those nooses. They had an outdoor neck swing at an outdoor fitness corner in China, and apparently he hung himself. He rested his neck, swung his body, and then apparently he snapped his head right off. So don't do that. That's like, maybe, is that what Harry Reid did when he fell a bunch of times into his bathroom? You know, fell a bunch of times. That's right. A wanted criminal pretended to be deaf and mute for 20 years to avoid prison. I can't even deal. That actually happened. This guy, this individual, pretended to not actually be able to speak at all. This was in Fujian province. And he finally was caught out by police, who realized that he was faking it. And they took him into custody, this guy. I feel like you couldn't get away with that here. Right? I feel like that's like one of the things that people would probably catch you on. You couldn't fake being deaf and mute. I don't know. Also, the, let's see, Thomas Massey won his early primary race in Kentucky. And let's see, we got a bunch of other stuff that we got to get into. We got to talk about some of the Russia stuff. We got a lot. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We expressed official condolences, as we've done when countries, adversaries, enemies, or not, have lost leaders. It changes nothing about the fact that Mr. Raisi was engaged in reprehensible conduct, including repressing his own people for many years as a judge. And that is president. It changes not a whit about our policy, but it's something that,
we've done many times
in the past, going back many administrations and many decades, and we do as
Anthony Blinken there. Yeah, we're sad. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, he murdered kids and he raped women to death, like lots of them. But, you know, I mean, the guy died. We're sad. It's just, you know, you say sad things for people who have sad things happen to him. You say sad stuff. You know, you remark about the sadness of sad thing that happened to him. It's sad.
It is sad to lose an avenue of money laundering like that, too. That's super sad.
I would highly encourage more of the Iranian leadership to take a beautiful tour of the mountain vistas during low visibility. I mean, I really would encourage them to do that. I mean, I hear it's just, remarkable. It's like, you know, being in a fog, being in a beautiful cloud. More of them should do it, right? More of them.
You really are encouraging today.
Yeah, you know, I'm all about that.
It's very positive.
Yes, that's me. Dana Lasher with you. Bottom of this third hour. They really should, though. They should. I threw a bomb on Twitter, so we're going to see how many trolls I get. I'll keep you updated. It was about the whole, you know, the giving the money to the, you know, Palestine, et cetera, et cetera. Making Israel do it. But I just, you know, got to say, just that seems to be very, you know, why do you have to say anything? Because they Blinken also said, well, you know, we're sorry for the Iranians. The Iranians are happy, dude. They're super stoked. They hated this guy. Why do you have to, well, yes, he's an enemy, and yes, he's... This is like, what reasoning is this? This guy's such a, he's such a Fruit Loop. He is.
Well, I mean, it's sad that this is ever happened.
Have you guys seen the new, this is horrible, the Hamastage hostage video? It's really brutal to show. I've seen the video of it where they were at that music festival and they got a whole bunch of these teenage girls and they're covered in blood. They've been beaten. It's really, really hard. And the stuff that they're saying to them is pretty harsh. In fact, they're like threatening to rape them. And they apparently divided them up. And they're like, these are the ones that you can knock up. And these are, I mean, this is the stuff they're saying to them. It's horrific. This video comes out. And I mean, it's bad. And they also got, they kidnapped IDF observers. And then they had women, teenage hostages from the music festival. And apparently the videos that were released were ones that had not been seen before. And it's just heinous. I don't know how anyone can sit here and demand a ceasefire. I don't know why that would be the video that finally does it for people too, right? Out of all the stuff that's out there, that's the video that'd be, well, okay, I've seen enough rape and beating. I guess that does it. That none of the other stuff does it? The hell's wrong with some of these people? Good heavens. And these women are terrified. They're terrified. And now you have Norway, Ireland, and Spain that just endorsed these rat bastard terrorists. Listen to this. This is audio. What audio soundbite is this? So this was at the United Nations. Audio soundbite 10. Listen to this.
Last month, I stood on these same steps with Prime Minister Sanchez of Spain. And we said that the point of recognizing the state of Palestine was coming closer. That point has now arrived. Today, Ireland, Norway, and Spain are announcing that we recognize the state of Palestine.
So you're going to reward them. And, I mean, there's a guy who's on video raping a woman, a terrorist raping a woman with a knife to her head. And her pants, she's in light-colored pants, and her pants are, her groin area is covered in blood. And they decided, oh, you know what? We're going to award these people with recognition of sovereignty. I mean, you watch them kidnap children, shoot people in the head, and you think, oh, we're going to recognize them as a sovereign state. You think that's the smart thing to do. I guess they don't have daughters there. I guess they don't have daughters in Ireland and in Spain and in Norway. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. I guess they don't have loved ones, children, anything like that. Of course, that's on track for parts of Ireland, I will say. If you go back and look at the history of World War II. I say this as somebody with Irish descent. Explains a lot. So they reward the terrorists with recognition of a terrorist state. Spain's socialist, not surprising. Ireland, that's kind of in keeping with some history. I mean, the videos of this that are out there, they're so bad. The new videos that are out are so bad. There's no such thing as Palestine. There's no state of Palestine. It's all make-believe stuff. The fact that you're going to reward these people after they had kidnapped kids and did everything else is just sickening to me. That's what they did, though. I mean, you have these terrorists on camera commenting about these girls' fertility. Not a joke. And this was the same day. Now you have the Irish leaders, Norway, Spanish, choosing to side with terrorists and rapists because they are more interested in political preening. And that's what this is. There are a bunch of rat bastard cowards in Ireland, Norway, and Spain that are political. They're preening politically and they're endorsing rapists and terrorists. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. I don't know. I don't know that I could ever go and like visit and vacation in a country that recognized that had an official stance like that. I'm real weird with where I travel and what I do. Could you go? No, see?
No, I'm seeing that the citizenry, though, does not agree with their leadership on a lot of this stuff.
Citizenry's had enough. One of the reasons the Irish citizenry has had enough is, have you seen what's happening with, first off, Irish farmers? Have you seen also, secondly, with immigration, what they have been dealing with in Ireland with immigration because of these rat bastard leaders that they have? It's sickening. You have all of these Irish leaders, these same Irish leaders that are Nepo babies, and they come from the same families that were there previously who turned a blind eye in World War II, the same leadership, the same ideology, the same thing over and over again. They're going to FA and FO with the people, the Irish people in Ireland, is what's going to happen. I don't know if you've seen some of the video of people out in the streets. They're going to mess around and it's going to be too much. Because they've had it. They're done. They've seen what these positions do to security and stability in their own country. So a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're getting to as we roll down towards the end. We got this Ohio story here real quick that I wanted to touch on. This Ohio ballot. Well, first off, I have two things real quick. Let me break it up into two. First and foremost, interesting thing from Jeanette Nunez, who's the lieutenant governor of Florida. The Biden administration apparently allowed officials of the communist Cuban regime to access secure parts of TSA areas in the Miami International Airport. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Cuban regime.
Because they were pre-screened.
I mean, I don't know. Miami-Dade county officials expressed outrage. NBC6 says after a Cuban government delegation, a communist delegation, toured security areas of MIA. They visited the airport twice before in 2011 and 2015. They found out they were there. And they said they were five communist Cuban officials. They got a tour of a TSA checkpoint and baggage screening area for about 5 hours. Miami-Dade County Commissioner Oliver Gilbert said, this should never, ever, ever happen again. It's weird. Like, the commies can come up from Cuba and they get, like, special access to these secure areas. They made me, when I rolled through on an international flight through Miami, I had to go through security twice. They made me go through twice an extra layer of security. I just had to go through it. And heaven forbid if you take anything over 3.4 ounces. But hey, if you're a commie from Cuba, the TSA, this is federally administrated, by the way. They get, yeah. Is that not some nonsense? Is that not nonsense? Unbelievable. Now, another quick thing to note. Remember how we've talked about the people who they traveled to Turks and Caicos Islands and they would accidentally have some ammo, which, by the way, if you can afford to go to Turks and Caicos, you can afford to get your A double snakes, a travel bag. Do not take your range bag as your travel bag. Do not take the bag that you use for hunting as your travel bag, just as an additional layer of security for yourself. Not because you're bending a knee to something, just as an additional layer, smart layer of security for yourself. I never take my range bag as a travel bag. I never take anything that I would take out hunting as my travel bag. I would never do that. So if you can go to TCI, which is short for Turks and Caicos Islands, then you can go and do that. Anyway, I bring this up because there are five Americans in total now that accidentally brought like loose ammunition into the islands. And one of them is a Floridian. She's a Floridian mother. She's, you know, legally carries. She wasn't smuggling. It just happened. Like, she would have like a couple of rounds like fall out of a box or something comes out of like an extra mag or something. And you have like a round that spare that you have. And one guy had two hunting rounds or had two rounds from a hunting trip, but he used his bag apparently. That's why you shouldn't do that. But she got in trouble. She was thrown in jail. So they had the Secretary of State, by direction of the governor of Florida, went to Turks and Caicos. I broke that story earlier this week. Went to Turks and Caicos Islands to try to negotiate on behalf, because that's what your government should do on behalf of you as a taxpayer, as a citizen, a release. Because there's a difference in an error where you have like a couple of rounds that you left that fell out in a bag or something, and is smuggling guns and ammo, like what the Haitians have been doing, into TCI. There's a huge difference there. And so, you know, you should be able to ask your government for assistance and stuff like this. And so that's what they're doing. And that's good. I hope other secretaries of state follow suit to do that, because it's just TCI. It's weird because they're trying to act like so hardcore on this. But yet from when you talked to, and we know people who live there, they are so frustrated because they said they're not getting enough help from the UK. They're a Commonwealth nation. They don't get enough help from the UK, although the UK did send ships down finally to help, you know, kind of deflect some of this illegal immigration coming in from Haiti. But that they know that they have this problem with Haitian gangs and drug running and gun running and smuggling and all of this stuff, and that the government's not doing enough to crack down on it. But they'll make an example out of, you know, people coming in from the United States or Europe, though. You know, it's weird. Or they'll make it coming in from other Caribbean nations that have more stable governments. It's just wild. It's unfortunate. So we'll see how that all goes. And then Ohio, one last quick thing, the Ohio ballot. So apparently Joe Biden, the ballot fix is not going to happen. He's not going to be on the ballot so far. The Secretary of State is not on the November presidential ballot in Ohio because the DNC convention is being held too late in the year. So whose fault is that? I mean, it's not, so the DNC knew what the laws were, and they scheduled their convention to happen later anyway, after the deadline, and now they're like, oh, what are we going to do?
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
But one of the key objectives, of course, is the provision of humanitarian aid and food to the people of Gaza. The Pentagon, within the last 24 hours, said that they did not believe that any of the aid from the pier where the construction was led by the United States military has been received by the people of Gaza to this point. Your thoughts on that, given this, has this been a failure? How do we fix this situation? And was the U.S. insufficiently prepared to utilize this as a means by which to deliver aid?
First, just to level set, since Saturday, the UN has in fact distributed humanitarian supplies from the pier to Palestinian civilians in Deir al-Bala, in al-Muwasi, and in Khan Yunis.
So aid from the pier has now gone specifically to the Palestinians who need it?
That's correct. And there's been about 695 metric tons of food that has come off the pier so far. About two-thirds of that either has gone or is on its way to going to Palestinian civilians. The issue is not actually getting...
Yeah, except that is the issue. The issue is that we were told that that was going to happen, that it was going to go to people in Gaza, and it didn't go to people in Gaza. So now, what's the recourse? I mean, you guys, we were told that it needed to happen because people were starving. And in fact, we were told that it needed to happen so much because Israel was in part responsible for these people starving. So is Israel still responsible for it, or is it Hamas now? I'm confused. And that's Jake Sullivan, the man who can't fill out a suit to save his life. Seriously, just get a jacket that fits. Is it weird that it bothers me so bad? You know what I'm talking about? That extra material that's like over by his shoulders.
Yeah.
It just bugs me to bits. Get a jacket that fits.
Also, why would the Pentagon actually just say none of the aid got there? Is that something advantageous to the Pentagon to do that?
What is so hard about stating the obvious? Right. What, did the aid get there? Well, it may have been around the area. What? The aid? No, we know that. What do you mean? Well, the area of where the aid was needed?
I mean, two-thirds of it's on its way. I mean,
yeah, it's on its way.
Right.
Where, in whose custody? People's. It's like a joke. You can't write this stuff. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, this is Karine Jean-Pierre in response to Biden's authority at the border. Listen to this.
Oh, jeez.
You opened the briefing by saying it's up to Republicans to do something to solve the problem or continue to use it as a political issue. The president has the authority to do something about this unilaterally. Congress is in a divided government right now. Why isn't he doing anything?
Well, why should he have to do it unilaterally? Why should we do it in a legislative way?
This is the same administration, by the way, that removed 94 executive orders as it pertains to border security in its first 100 days. So,
you know, folks, that does it for us today. Have a great evening. Find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook. Like and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.